Hello everyone, Lauren Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns. Newscast dated March 13th, 2015. Echoes from the Cavern is distributed by Sir Style Teagle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how are you doing this week, Asclepius?
I'm doing super well. Thanks, Lord Baldrith, and yourself?
Doing great this week. Ready to start another weekend and have fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really nice. And managed to spend a bit of time in game, so that was an awesome week.
Yeah, did you go out and get some more revenge?
Oh, I did. And I tell you what, it was such a good feeling. This week, I have been down to the bottom of the Owl's Head Sewer, the Kingsport Sewer, and the Ravensmoor Dungeon. And when I came out, nothing was moving.
Now that is the way to go. So you got out of there alive, huh?
I got out of there alive. It was awesome.
Now that just tells me that you've really improved your character to a degree where you're pretty unstoppable.
Well, thank you, but I wouldn't say unstoppable. I get lucky. I did die once in Ravensmoor. I worked out what it was. There are a lot of ghosts. And they are the biggest foe at the moment, I reckon. They're the hardest to deal with. Because they're very insubstantial, and they just drain the life out of you. And I can deal with them one at a time. Because I've got basically a blades hand set up. I've got 5 healing touches. So as soon as that comes up, I can keep myself alive while I'm battling. And 5 death touch. So the ghosts are vulnerable to that. And I can see his health bar going down and mine going up. And that's wonderful. I've got a few death rays, which works even better if you don't get interrupted. And of course, if you do, well, it's just wasted.
Yeah, it's wasted time.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, if I can battle a ghost single-handed, yeah, one at a time, that's fine. It's still a bit of a holding pattern until the Death Touch cards come up. And, you know, I have been in a situation where I was like, my health's going down, it's going down. Come on, need a Death Touch.
Yeah, come on.
Yes.
Have you messed with stacking at all? I heard something about stacking makes spells stronger.
Yeah, I have messed with it, and I've had occasions where it works absolutely brilliantly. I've stacked 3 death touches on top of each other and done something insane, like 140 critical damage to somebody.
Nice.
And I thought, that's fantastic. And then another time, you'll do it, and it doesn't seem to make a lot of difference. So I don't know how it works, I don't know how random it is, but yes, it's worth trying. And you stack 2 or 3 identical glyphs on top of each other. Whether you need a certain amount of intelligence for magic glyphs or strength of melee glyphs, I don't know. But yes, it can really make a difference. Not all the time. So it's just interesting. And sometimes you get a nice surprise and you really hit people.
Yeah, it's kind of nice when I kind of just die all of a sudden, huh?
Oh, it's great. It's wonderful. Yeah. But there was one room in Ravensmoor that got me. I didn't realize it until I was down there. There's a room, then some steps going downstairs to another room. Go down there. Right, there's a ghost. Fine. A ghost and a spider. So I'm attacking the ghost. But I died. I thought, okay, odd. Then I came back to that room, looked around the corner carefully. No, there were 2 ghosts.
Oh, that's tricky.
Yeah, a bit tricky. So while I was dealing with one of them, the other one was having a piece of me as well.
Yeah, that's double the damage. That hurts.
Oh, it really hurts, yes. But this is where strategy comes in. I managed to do it because I just peeked around the corner. You know, waved at one of the ghosts, said hi, irritated him, He came up the stairs and started to have a go at me, but his mate stayed down there, so I could do them one at a time.
So as long as you've got space to back up, you can drag them out of there and take them alone.
That's right, yes, yes. Because I was in the room upstairs. He came running up the stairs to fight me. Well, great, I could deal with one at a time. Beat him, down the stairs, handle his mate. Bob's your uncle.
Another room clear, yeah.
Yeah, another room clear. Yes, another step towards the end. And at the end of the dungeon, there's that undead lord, which I managed to deal with. And in the chest behind him, found the Throne of Bone, which is now gracing my little boat right in front of the fireplace.
Well, that's a beautiful addition to your decorations.
Oh, it is. It's lovely. Yes.
Now, does that final lich, does he still summon ghosts or summon skeletons?
He didn't today. No.
Okay, so they've made him a little less horrendous.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. A little less, powerful or a little less threatening. But yeah.
Yeah. He was pretty well last time.
Oh, wasn't he? Yeah. Yeah. I was at the point last time where I could defeat a number of the minions. I probably should have gone for him first. But yeah, just get a handle on some of the minions, drag them out into the corridor. They'd come out and I'd beat them, that's fine. But by the time you go back, they've all respawned.
Yeah, and he's casting them faster than you can possibly keep up. It just did bombard you badly.
I know. But look, on this particular occasion, when I went there, it didn't seem too bad. So maybe they figured getting past the ghosts was enough of a punishment.
Yeah, they haven't weakened the ghosts yet, so they figure, okay, let's just do it that way, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
And people are asking for more challenging, you know, PvE play, so I guess maybe they want to just keep it going.
Well, that's right, that's for sure. But there we go. So, yeah, been a good week. And, a couple of interesting things I picked up in the news this week. Out of the forum, Smack put a post in referencing a newscast. Lord British did a interview at PAX East, and a couple of good points out of that, I thought. He was pretty proud of the fact that every month they'd put out their new installment on time and as planned and as promised. And the best part of it was it didn't fall over. You know, the server managed to stay up, which was lovely.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. And it's been online, as we know, it's been online 24/7 since November. Brilliant. And he said something which we do know. The transition to Unity 5 was huge. The next step is beautification. Actually making it look good. Because they were pretty happy when it actually got out the door with Ultima, with Unity 5, and it actually worked. It was quite funny. You saw the post-mortem?
Yeah, actually, I just finished watching it, so I was happy to get to see that.
Yeah, I mean, that was awesome too. And as Star said, at one stage, when they were working through this process, he was curled up in the fetal position.
Oh, yeah, it's really scary, I bet you, to post those things and just get all kind of flash, or you know,
yeah.
People get mad real easy, you know.
Because, honestly, it must have been such a hard transition. Everything had to be done. But they managed to wheel it out the door, and it actually didn't look too terrible. And in the post-mortem, they're acknowledging that. Yeah, it didn't look too terrible. The next step is to make it look good. And that's what's going to happen in the next few releases.
Oh, yeah. It's just going to get better and better. That'll be awesome.
Oh, for sure. And a couple of things that Richard said was interesting. He thought they were about 80% complete on the game systems.
Oh, wow. 80%? That's quite high.
It is. Now, I think there's going to be a mixed response to that. People will say, wow, that's good. We're nearly there. Or people will say, well, hang on. There's so much more that needs to go in. How could it possibly be 80%?
Well, when they mean systems, I think they're just talking about crafting, fighting, decorating, that kind of thing. The systems in it is not all done, right?
That's it. I think that's probably what he's talking about. When you're looking at the skill trees and stuff like that, a lot of some of them are finished. Some of them have still got some black holes. So, okay, we've got 80% there. Fill in the black holes and we'll fill in the crafting trees and stuff like that. So he was saying, yeah, okay, maybe 2-3 months for that. And then we'll be at Alpha.
That's right. I think that's probably your biggest missing is the crafting. There's none of the, your crafting, physical crafting, just harvesting them right now.
That's right, yeah, yeah. And then they'll expand and put all the territories in and flesh out the continent. Well, then we're at Beta. And after that, episode one.
Yeah, you know, I think it's starting to get closer, you know. Maybe we will be done before release 30, you know.
Yes, yeah, I think so.
Well,
look, I'm saying definitely this year. I reckon mid to late this year. That's my wild estimate.
Yeah, I would guess they would want to get it done as soon as they can so they can get going on, you know, episode two.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah, for sure. But, oh, honestly, it is such fun.
Yeah, it's so much fun now because there's just so much more to do, so much more to see. It makes the game a lot funner to play.
That's right, yeah. And it made me realize something we were talking about briefly before we went on air. They've been fairly clever in the way they've designed the leveling system. As you'd remember in Ultima Online, you had the skill-based system and you could get up to 100 and then you ran master. And if you can find or buy a power scroll, you might get up to 110, 120, whatever. And that's it. That's as far as you can go in that skill or in anything. Okay. But not so much. In Shroud, they're almost doing the same thing, but not quite. There is no hard cap. Which is pretty brilliant. They're just making it harder to get there. Because I just recently went from level 50 to 51. And I noticed it's 120,000 skill points to get there. And I thought, wow, you know, the steps are getting bigger. It's just getting...
Yeah, that's a lot of bears, huh?
A lot of bears, yeah, a lot of skeletons, a lot of everything. Yeah, you really have to work hard. And then... I noticed a post in the forum this week by Themo Locke, and I would like to take a moment to give a big shout out to Themo and probably everybody else who's done that much work in the game. Some people just dive into the game, work really hard at it, and get to incredible levels, and this is really what helps the developers. When they see, you know, the whole thing developing and people using and developing the game to its maximum ability. He just made an off-the-cuff comment that says, by the time you get to level 90, I think level 90 is way beyond what mere mortals like me could ever even think about. But when you get to level 90, you are less than halfway to level 100. Because the steps just keep on getting bigger and bigger. For instance, level 90 to 91, you're looking at 5 million experience points.
Yeah, that's a couple of months for a lot of us, huh?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And if anybody can actually get to 110, that'd be epic. So the general message is, and I don't know how quick or easy it is going to be, once the game actually is released. But it seems to be, you can get to a level where you're sort of functional and reasonably competent moderately easily. But to get to us to be a superhero, that's going to take a long time.
Well, they really haven't told us what the caps are on strength and intelligence and all those stats, right?
No, no.
So,
well, I've got,
what's a superhero strength, you know?
Yeah. Well, some feedback from the forum suggests that it might be 50. But I'm not sure about that.
I think I'm in the 30s, but I've never been to 50. Yeah.
No. And what I'm thinking is, if you wanted to keep going, you could max out all your attributes. You could get to level 500. You could be 50 in every attribute, if that's what the maximum is. The only downside is, if you're a teenager now, you could probably achieve that just as you enter the retirement home.
Hey, that would be pretty good.
Yes. Because that would take a very, very, very long time. It really, really would.
Well, plus, you can have more than one character, you know, do it again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I think, that'd been fiendishly clever, the way they're doing this. And
well,
we don't really
want to have an end game, do we? We just want to keep playing.
Well, that's it. We don't. You don't want to get to the point where you've done it all. It's all, you know, you've gone as far as you can go. There's no more development or progress or growth or interest possible. So you just, just keep on going.
And I'd be curious, what is their thoughts on getting into episode 2? What level is that at?
Yeah. I would hope that we'd keep our characters and keep the growth from level 1, from episode 1.
Right, but when you would assume that that next area would be a higher level of creatures and resources and things. So
yes.
You need to be level 50 to get up there and survive, or what's that going to be?
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
Or 100.
Yes. But look, it's just an amazing sight to see the game developing. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah, and we haven't even got fishing in, and I'm having fun.
Yes, I know. We'll get it in one day.
Yeah, I know it's coming. I've seen some actual thought on it, so yeah, we're getting there.
Terrific. That's brilliant. Okay, all right, well, to the news. Update number 116.
Nice.
Getting there. A post-mortem with Tracy Hickman, sorry. Shroud Chroma support. A shout at SXXW, player owned towns. A white lepus mask. Kickstarter reboots and more. Brilliant. Okay, and the first item was the hangout of the Avatar, release 15 post-mortem, which I've just finished watching, and that was brilliant.
Yeah, I made some notes on that just for, you know, for the fun of it, because there was some cool stuff they talked about.
Yeah,
The one thing that I think will make people happier about the PvP and the whole, you know, challenge of the game is they said that... if you loot a chest and then you die, then the stuff stays on your body.
Yes.
Same with PvP. If you get killed before you leave the scene, the stuff stays on your body. That's kind of like full loot, isn't it?
Yes. It's similar. And they're introducing an element of risk versus reward. And it makes the game more exciting. Because, I mean, look. As in when I went down to Ravensmoor, fought my way all the way through there, fantastic, killed everybody, got the Throne of Bone. If I died on the way out, I wouldn't have it.
Yeah, you had to get back.
Yeah, that's right, you have to get back. And I just noticed Chris put a bit of a post in the forum. Just saying, look, he was going to do a huge brain dump shortly, but this just putting it out there to see how many posts come in by Monday. Well, there's 8 pages worth already.
Oh, wow.
Yes. People are really lighting up, which is lovely. That's good.
That's what they want. They want to hear what we got to say.
It is. Now, I think it was Lolly who made one thought, which was pretty good. She said, well, what if you have a bit of a timer? Like, if you've been in there for a while... would that make a difference? And Chris said, yes, it actually would. If you've been in the scene for a while, and if you've picked up the item like an hour ago, then okay, you might still have it. If you've just picked it up, you won't.
Oh, so it's kind of timer-based also.
Yes, yeah.
So the exit is like a save kind of thing.
Yes. Yes, that's right, yes. If you can get out of the scene in one piece, then you get to keep everything.
I really like that because, you know, you always see the guys, oh, I'm just going to run through, get the chest, and die and go. You can't do that now. Isn't
that
awesome?
You can't do it, no. No. No, dying is much more serious than it used to be.
Yeah, now you're going to have to go down there, fight your way back through to get your body and see what happens.
That's right, yes.
And do you lose, like, experience if you don't get your body, or does something else happen?
I have no idea. It'll be really interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it could get ugly, you know?
Yeah.
You remember dying in Ultima Online? Just, if you don't find your body, you've lost everything.
That's right, yes. I know. By the time you come back to it, somebody else has rifled it.
Yeah, because the timer on it was, it was not that high, so yeah. It's free for all.
That's right. Yep. And one thing that applies to this, I think, I have found that the Verdanta Shardfall is actually a pretty good place to go to harvest because there's lots of trees there.
Yeah, so now the question is what's your skill
and
they
strategy? They get you 200 points per node.
That's good.
And sometimes, if you're lucky, you harvest and the tree is still standing because you haven't consumed it. So I've consumed the same tree 3 or 4 times, which is fantastic. But then if somebody comes along and kills you, you lose the last hour's work.
Well, you get the experience, right? They don't take that away.
No, let's hope not. That's right.
Well, that would be ugly, wouldn't it? Okay, now all the experience you gained is gone too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
oh, let's not get many ideas.
Oh, no. All that timber you harvested that you were going to go home and make furniture with, sorry, you lost that.
Yeah, some idiot over there took it, and I'm going to have to go find him.
Yeah.
Isn't that encouraging PvP?
Oh, yes. Hey, did you notice also in the hangout they are going to have full loot PvP zones?
Oh, I didn't catch that. They said that too?
They did, yes. There will be some zones that it's probably a step up from the current PvP zone. And there will be a flag. You are going to enter a full loot PvP zone. Do you want to go there? Yeah, please. That's fine. Let's do it.
I love it. I'm glad they're doing that because I think people that want a PvP should have the option to choose how they want a PvP.
That's right. Look, it makes it more challenging and more interesting and more fun for everybody. And the people who love that type of gameplay, that's for them. Go for it.
Yeah, why limit them? You know, they shouldn't limit anybody. Everybody should be able to do what they want to do in the game.
That's right. Mind you, the scary thing is that they might litter these full loot zones with lots of resources and mining nodes and plants and stuff. Attempt people to go and get them.
Well, if I go into one of those, I'm not going to have much on me, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You leave all your good stuff at home.
That's right, because I'm going to lose it.
Yes, I know. I'm still not very good at PvP.
I'm not going to even know. Not with these guys. These guys are all champions at PvP.
Oh, that's for sure, aren't they? Yeah. But it was a good hangout, and I think they answered a lot of questions. And it's great.
Yeah, and then didn't they say they're going to try to get player-owned town names on the map by release 17?
Yes, that'd be great.
I wish I could have asked, but I wanted to know, okay, so when are they going to start asking for submissions on our layouts?
Yes, yeah.
Got to have those first, right?
They do, that's right, yep. I think they might have said they might want to put one player-owned town on the map by 17, just as a prototype to see how it works.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you might get lucky.
Yeah, right. My little teeny hamlet? I don't know.
But they've got all sorts of great ideas. But look, as we've said, the next couple of releases are going to start looking good, because, you know, they did say that going to Unity 5, the performance suffered, the frame rate suffered, shading suffered, everything suffered. The next two releases, not quite as much of new content, but it's going to look a lot nicer.
Yes, I'm excited about the optimization.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because it'll, if we find that it's flowing more smoothly, that it's no jittering, no lag, loading times are better, yeah, it'll be awesome.
Yeah, that way the random encounters won't be so annoying if it's like in and out, you know, no big deal.
Yeah, that's right, yes. And even on the random encounters, as they were saying, the ultimate, yeah, these are just placeholders things. They don't mean much right now. But hopefully by the time they get the game out the door, it'll all mean something. Like, if there's a random encounter, then it might be a couple of travellers who have been set on by a gang of bandits, or a pitched battle between some kobolds and some elves or something. It's not just dropped in a scene with a couple of wolves attacking you. It'll actually be interesting, it'll be significant, and it hopefully will relate to the area.
That's when we're going to say, oh, cool, a random encounter. I want to see what it's all about.
That's right, yes. Yeah. And it'll be a little bit less of, not a random encounter, I just wanted to get somewhere.
I know, especially when you're traveling in a party and they're waiting for you to get out of it. It's like, oh, okay, I'm coming.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, and another interesting item they said, just to illustrate, everything, nothing is set in stone, and all of the prices, the quantities, the values and things, they were just thrown in. Somebody made the point that, you know, arrows are pretty darn expensive to make. And Chris said, yeah, that probably should be 100 arrows, not one. But that just slipped through, and we didn't notice that.
Yeah, that would make a lot more sense, being you probably shoot 50 in each battle.
That's right, yeah. So, the take-home message is everything is going to be refined, it'll be ironed out, quantities, prices, values, it's all going to be more sensible. So panic not, and it's all going to be pretty awesome.
Yep, that's what we're doing now. We're figuring out where the balances lie and stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, so that'll be lovely. And hoping eventually to have street names in towns and little maps to help you find your way around.
Yep, I've got all my town streets named. Yeah. I've been allowed that for player owned towns.
Terrific. Look, you will be the town selected, I'm sure.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this for a long time.
Yeah, good on you. I hope so. Yes. And creatures that you meet in the game are going to get more crafty rather than just, you know, run up and attack sort of thing. They'll be a little bit more crafty.
Yeah, like the skeletons already are. They're laying on the ground and all of a sudden they pop up.
Yes. Yeah, that's a bit cunning, isn't it?
It is. Pretty tricky of them. You think, oh, I thought he was already dead.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. So that's good. And did you catch that Tracy Hickman already has a character in the game?
Yeah, I wonder if they were real about it, him being that knob.
Yeah, I'm guessing that they weren't. I don't know.
Yeah, me either, but I think that would be funny.
Yeah, wouldn't it, eh? Yes.
I thought it meant that he had a guy he walked around with, though.
Yeah. Well, it could be, yes. But they were saying that we've all seen him. So I don't know whether it's one of the NPCs or a merchant or who it is.
Yeah, it would have to be somebody pretty common in Alcev, like, you know, one of the decoration vendors or one of those guys.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So, it'll be fascinating to find out who it is.
Yeah, they're keeping a pretty tight lip. I was curious.
Yeah, they are. That's right. And the good news is no wipe for the next level.
That's real good news, isn't it?
That's lovely. Yep.
We got our decorated house for another release. Yay!
Yes.
Yay! Magic.
That's great.
And no land rush. All right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I'm pretty happy with where I am in Ardoris, because I'm on one of the docks south of town, and I found that all I have to do is leap off the side of the boat and swim over to the dock where the ferries are.
Oh, then you can go anywhere, huh?
Yeah, I can go anywhere. That's great. Fantastic.
Yeah, did you notice that when I was watching the Mad Hermits video, with a new one, you can click on the boats on the overland map to take you to Novi. I didn't know that.
I did not know that, and I've just discovered that. There is a boat that's parked adjacent to Oldwater, and you can actually click on that boat from the overland map.
Yeah, it's like, wow, cool, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. It's amazing what you find out. It's brilliant.
Every time I watch a Mad Hermit video, I learn something.
Oh, yeah, I know. They are great, aren't they?
He's really awesome. He's just brilliant. I don't know where he gets all this information.
No. But a real asset to the game, too, and to the community.
Yeah, great guy, too.
Yep. And there we are. And they've got a list of how many of the Grand Tour Crest rewards have been claimed.
Oh, isn't that neat to see?
Yeah, lovely. So the highest number was the Yule Hat. Okay, yeah, with 2 weeks to go. 1,100 Silver Jester Carnival Hats, but look, it could get up there to a couple of thousand.
So yeah, I hope great. That one stays low. It makes it more rare, doesn't it?
It does, that's right, yep. Brilliant. Okay. And next, Shroud is showing Razor Chroma support at GDC. Lovely. One of the founders of Razor, Min Liang Tan, proudly described to Richard that the Razor logo... Oh, there it is. Look at that. Nifty.
Oh, yeah.
It's based on Richard's serpent necklace, so there's a deep connection between us and the Razor clan.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
That is cool. No, nor did I. And Razor introduced their Chroma SDK. Okay. Which allows game developers to connect game events to Razor Chroma peripherals. Nice.
And that's a nice looking keyboard, too.
Oh, it is. I mean, look at that. It all lights up with different colors, depending on what you're doing, depending on what your state of health is. It's beyond my understanding, but it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's neat, though. It's colorful.
Yeah, it is. It's great. It's wonderful. So the things you can get when you need to, or when you want to. There's a few nifty photos from the GDC event. Lovely. Okay. And we have Finn doing some virtual reality research.
Ah, are they still thinking about trying to add that to the game?
I don't think so. No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Nah, it was just one of those dreams, huh?
I reckon. But it looks like a bit of fun. Yep. Okay. And they've been somewhere else. They went to SSXW. Yes. They're going to be on an interactive panel entitled Linear versus Nonlinear Narrative in Video Games. Yeah. That sounds fairly deep.
Yeah, they got Tracy in there, so it must be story-based.
Yes. Yeah. Fantastic. Yep. And Star's going to talk. Entitled Crowd Sharing, Crowdfunding and Sourcing in Games. So, look, most of them are free to the public. So, if you happen to be in Austin this weekend, head downtown.
Yeah, I got
time to get over there? No, I probably haven't.
I'd love to go there. It's a good drive for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How far are you away from Austin?
It's probably a good 1,500 miles.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch.
Texas is a big state, and it's on the other side.
Yes.
But I've actually been to Austin, but it's been years. It's really nice down there.
Oh, lovely. Good, good. Well, good reasons to go, if we can, but, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just have to watch the videos and see the pictures.
That's right. Yep. Okay, and next item, they're talking about player-owned towns. This is interesting stuff.
Yes.
There are ways to incentivize thriving player-owned towns filled with occupants and ways to keep traffic moving through them. That's lovely. Because nothing worse than a dead town that nobody goes to.
Yeah, just a bunch of empty lots and nothing to do.
That's right, yes. Yeah. But it's looking, the things that they're doing look good. I mean, first of all, I want to put an icon on the map directly related to how many occupants you have.
So, yeah, you can see that in the new towns they added, how there's different looking buildings on some of the towns to tell you what kind of town it is. Kind of cool, right?
It is cool, yeah. Yeah, I think it's great. So, you can see even on the overworld map how big the town is and how many occupants it has. So that'll be nice. Lovely, cool feature. It's a stretch goal, but it might happen. If there are players in the town, then you'll have smoke coming from the chimneys and lights will be on. Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be really neat.
Yeah. So that'd be great. And then the owner can select NPC buildings. So that'd be awesome.
Related to that, hopefully they make it so that if you have a fire or a fireplace in your house, then smoke comes out of the chimney inside the town as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah, now that'd be really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a hint to add fireplaces to all the houses, because the ones with the pledges don't seem to have them.
No, that's right. Yep. Yep. Yeah. And, yeah, fireplaces and, as you say, chimneys. Because at the moment, I've got a very slight difficulty in my galleon. There's a beautiful hearth fireplace in the captain's cabin, which looks absolutely awesome. But there's no chimney, so I'm not quite sure where the smoke's going right now.
Yeah, you might have a room full of smoke in there.
Yes, that's right.
My house is just the opposite. It's got a chimney, but it doesn't go anywhere.
Oh, that's no good, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, where's my hidden fireplace?
Yes, so if they ever develop realistic smoke, I'm going to be in trouble.
Yeah, oh yeah, that'd be a mess, wouldn't it?
Yeah, wouldn't it? Yes. Okay, but look at the buildings you can have in a player-owned town. You know, tavern, a bank, combat shop, weapon shop, armor shop, magic shop. You'd do well with that.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to choose.
I know, a home shop, a guild shop, stable, cemetery, guard towers, crafting, fishing, there you go. Selling fishing rods, lines, hooks, bait, everything.
Yeah, all the stuff we're going to need.
Cooking, public garden, monuments and shrines, wow. Fantastic.
Yeah, and you can only get, based on the size of your city, one to, I don't know what the metro gets, like 10 or something?
Yeah. So, yes, that's a subtle or not so subtle encouragement to increase the size of your town, because you get more buildings.
Yes, it moves up substantially, too, from like going from city to metro. It seems like it's quite substantial.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, that was the main reason. If you go from the holdfast to the hamlet, you get a whole extra structure, so it's pretty good.
That's worthwhile, then. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, it is. It's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And I like this next concept they've got of blessings.
Yeah, that had some serious feedback.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. So the population of any scene that includes player housing will trigger a blessing when it gets to a certain threshold, say 60% occupancy. It'd be a long-term buff for 24 hours and the city would be blessed for a month. Any players entering the blessed city and using a monument or a shrine would receive the blessing. That's harking back to the days of Ultima.
Yeah, that's a really good incentive to get your towns filled up too.
Oh, it's terrific. Yeah. Yeah, you go to this particular town, visit the shrine, get a blessing, and you've got a really cool buff that will stand you in good stead. Why not? That's
terrific. It's all the more reason to choose a statue as one of your one of your items.
That's right, yes. Yeah. Fantastic. Current thinking is there will be a limit on how many blessings a player can have based on type. As little as two of each type. So you could have two adventurer blessings and two crafting blessings at any given time. Okay.
I like that.
That's good. But that's all still in the works. So, yes. Watch this space. It will all be developed. That's tremendous.
Yeah, what do we want in our town? Adventuring or crafting? Owie, that's our decision.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Boy, and they're planning to get some permissions sharing. Nice. The player-owned towns.
Very cool.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you could rent out some of those many rooms in your basement.
Yeah, I think I've got 20 bedrooms that I had that many beds just to see how many I put in the basement. The basement's just got so many cool rooms. It's awesome.
Oh, I know. I would seriously get lost in your basement.
Yeah, you'd almost... How would you find your room? My room's like on the third floor of this bedroom on the end.
Yeah. Look, to be honest with you, I'm having trouble already. Because, you know, all our stuff was in the bank when we started. Now, I know that I have some Admiral's outfits. And I've also got some riding outfits. And they were in the bank. I think I took them out. I think I put them somewhere.
Oh,
but
no.
I cannot find them. And I've only got a certain number of chests, and I think I've looked in every chest. I think. But I can't find where I put them.
There have been some bugs with basements. I've actually lost all my stuff in one of my basements before, so maybe that happened. I don't know.
Okay, all right. We'll blame a bug. That's all right.
Yeah, they'll show back up eventually. That's a good thing about it.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. So I'm probably not getting old and stupid.
No, no, we just have giant housing. It's a big problem here.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, good thing that if it is a bug, they get it ironed out now rather than on release, because I'd hate to lose all my cool stuff during the actual game.
Yeah, they'd be really busy replacing people's lost stuff. I would venture to say that's one of their priorities there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yep. Yep. And a nice little trainer design side note, which is really good and interesting to see. So yeah, training is going to be difficult, or different, and a bit more difficult.
As it should be.
Yes, absolutely. Because as they said in the hangout, you can unlearn a skill quite easily, but to learn a new skill, that's going to take time. And it could be difficult, especially in the higher tiers. And if you want to go for the top level, like summoning a creature or a lich or a elemental, whatever, there'll probably only be one trainer in the game that'll be able to teach you that. You'll have to go on a journey, find him, and then go on a quest before he'll teach you. So it's going to make it really interesting.
I like that. That helps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Because at the moment it is a bit too easy, but it's probably what it needs to be, because we're compressing a lot of game to play and a lot of experimenting into a month or two's window. So people need to be able to try it out.
We're missing so much of those kind of features people are asking for that it's hard to even fathom what it's going to look like when it's ready.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, yeah, it is like, oh, I can just change from a mage to a warrior in a couple of seconds. It's not going to be like that.
No. No, it is not. No, we're going to have to give serious thought as to what type of character we want to be. I suppose that's one advantage of doing what we're doing, and we get a bit of a run-up. So we know for us what works. And so I think, okay, in the back of my mind, that's the sort of build I'm going to start aiming for.
That's right. We can test what's the best combination of skills.
Yeah.
That'll give us a head start.
Yeah, that's right. And then when the game is finally released, we just gradually work our way towards it.
I like to have multiple characters, so I like to dabble in magic and warriors. So I'm going to do both here and there, but
wow,
it's nice to have a head start.
Good on you.
And yeah, my old man has to be a mage. Right now he doesn't look like a mage because he's using a sword.
Yeah, right. Yes. But I'm wondering, by the time you get up to level 50 or so, if you've got enough skill, if you rack your intelligence up, you could probably survive quite well as a mage.
I've heard that, and I've been so upset about how badly I did as a mage that I've stuck with just wearing full plate and not dying, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
I hate dying and, you know, just having to just run away all the time. It gets old, you know?
It does, doesn't it? Yep, that's right.
Yeah, I just want to sit there and kill things, but I can't.
I know. It's been a satisfying feeling because I've got this leather armor that I've crafted for myself. And that's reasonably high in actually damage resistance, actually. And I've got all the earth buffs up and stuff. And I can just sit in a throng of skeletons and just flail away at them and take them one at a time. Say, well, come on, boys. You know, do your worst. And that's a nice feeling.
Yeah. Do you have the shields and stuff up? Is that what you're doing?
No. I have a two-handed sword. I don't have any extra shields. I have used that death shield in the past, but I don't have it in my current build. Mainly, I'm just hitting people, inflicting damage, improving my life with the healing touch when I need to, and sucking life out of people with the death touch. And so far, it seems to work.
Do you have high dexterity? Maybe that's helping you avoid damage?
Yeah, my dexterity is up to 35.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty high, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that helps. No, it's not 35, it's 30-something. Intelligence is 35.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. So it probably helps with the magic.
Yeah, because you can run out of magic, you know, focus just using your sword.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
In the longer battles, I tend to run out. It gets dangerous when you're using your auto attacks.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and I don't know whether that's related to it, but since I started boosting my intelligence, I don't seem to be running out of focus.
Yeah, because I think the highest focus cost is in your pure magic cast, right. You know, like fireball, yes. And all that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be right. Yeah. But yeah, I'm with you. When you're in the middle of a battle and your focus is completely depleted, that's a bit sad. And yeah, all you've got is your auto attack. And you think, come on, I want to push a button.
I know, all your buttons are grayed out. Oh, no.
Yes, that's right. Oh, dear. But it's a fun time, really.
It is.
Okay. All right, and more gorgeous pictures of Abe's Overworld. The work in progress. I mean, that is just lovely.
I love the snow. Isn't that cool?
That is absolutely cool. Yeah, looking at Virtus Pass. That's absolutely magic. That's brilliant. And did you see in the forum post that he made, he's going to do another pass on the Hidden Vale. So that is going to look as good as Novia.
Yes. I wish I could give some credit. Somebody made a suggestion to add farmlands to the Overland map.
Oh, right.
I thought that was an awesome idea. And then Abe actually said, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, and he's going to do it.
Terrific. Very nice. Okay. Oh, and look at this. Here we are. Just in time for Easter, we have a white lepus mask in the add-on store.
Oh, cool.
Until April the 30th. 30th. Oh, okay.
April 30th. Hey, a slight typo there.
Yeah, I know. Yes. So I'm not sure whether they meant to say 30th or 31st.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that might give us an extra day.
Might, yes. But end of April anyway. So look, right. Rock up to the add-on store. Spend a few dollars, because there'll only be a few dollars. But if enough people do it, we are going to crack 6 million.
Yeah, I'm going to do another status update here towards the end of the newscast to see if we're going to crack the 6 million today. Yeah, we are really close.
We are. Yeah, that would be awesome. Yep. Okay. And not to be forgotten, we want a hat stand or something of that order to hang all our hats on.
Yes, a hat stand and hooks for the wall. Yes.
Yes. Didn't you say Bowen Bloodgood was working on something like that?
Yes, Bowen, actually, I've seen some prototypes that he's working on for the hat stand, and he's also talking about the hooks for the wall. I'm all over that thread. That's just, that's right up my alley there, all that decoration
Brilliant.
Stuff. Bring it out,
yeah.
Yeah,
lovely. And again, it's awesome to see so many talented and passionate people in the community getting into this and making the game richer.
That's right. Every feature like that makes this game all the more unique and all the more exciting for, you know, anybody looking in. It's like, wow, I've never seen a game that does that. It's just awesome.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And the game is, well, not equally, but it's very much powered, driven, and developed by the community as well as the devs.
That's right. And the community, we know what we like, so... Yeah,
we're that's right, we do. Here. Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
We want to be able to put all the stuff from our inventory out on a table if we want to. We want to.
That's right, exactly. Okay. All right, and now we have Kickstarter shoutouts. TSI, the resurrection of SSI. Here we go. It's great to see these masters of the early games industry return to lead once more. Strategic Stimulations, Inc. was synonymous with some of the best strategy games and RPGs, such as the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. Okay.
Did you ever play any of those gold box games?
I didn't, but my son's really big on D&D.
That's where I started with RPGs. Even before I played Ultima, I played the gold box games, and they were just the funnest thing in the world to me.
Oh, fantastic. Yep.
You get your six people party, you know, and you just it's turn-based combat, so you set up everybody's attacks and you bomb away and see what happens. It was fun.
That's right. Yep. Yep.
I watched the promo on this. This is looking pretty fun. It's like, oh man, I love games like that. I might have to, you know, get into that one.
Oh, lovely. So honestly, yeah. Anybody who likes that sort of thing, I seem to remember Baldur's Gate was a bit like that.
Exactly. Baldur's Gate was it was a hybrid because you could pause the game and set up your attacks, or it just went real time either way.
That's right. You could. I remember that. You could pause the game and set up in each individual character as to what you wanted them to do, and then set it to fire, and they'd all do their thing and carry out their attacks, and that was great fun.
Oh, it's so much fun having control over a big party. It's just it's all the more fun.
That's right. So, look, there we go. Anybody... I mean, if you don't have enough to do playing Shroud, which I can't imagine, though...
yeah, for sure.
If you have another life on top of this one, look into it and check out the Seven Dragons Saga Kickstarter site. And if you like what you see, then pledge your support, because they could always use help.
That's why I cringe when I see these things come out. Oh, I don't have time for another game. This is serious.
It is, I know. I mean, this one takes up all of my time.
Yeah, me too. It's I could decorate brilliant. Forever.
Oh, it's fantastic. And I was just thinking, when you were talking about having multiple characters, you know, your warrior and your mage, I thought, well, yeah, you're going to give up eating, sleeping, working?
Yeah, that's generally what I do when I get into a game, yeah. It's cheap entertainment, but yeah, it takes away from your life.
It sure does. But hey, it's fun.
It is. It's just, that's what I like to do, so I don't consider it a big waste.
No, that's right. Exactly. Yeah.
And I mean, some people like to sit in front of the TV, go out to the movies, go out to eat. I just sit in front of a computer and live a life on a game.
That's right. And you know what? You meet a lot of really nice people.
Yeah, there's some great people here.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. Yeah, this is an awesome community, and I've met such a lot of lovely people that I could genuinely call friends, and that's a great way to be.
Yeah, it's really cool that you can actually make real friends on a game where you haven't really met the person, but you know the person. It's just awesome.
That's right. Yeah. So this is an amazing vehicle for that kind of interaction and companionship.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's Plus, brilliant. you can hang out with your family that's not nearby too.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. That's right. Okay, and yet another game coming out. Descent Underground. Wow.
Ooh, I don't know this one.
No, nor do I. Yeah, more of our former Origin compadres, Eric Wingman Peterson, Jason Spangler, Rob Irving, Sergio Rosas, Todd Bailey, and Michael Morlan. They've teamed up to reboot Descent. It's a pulse-pounding 3D action game from the 90s. It gave the player full control of a spacecraft as it battled enemies and rescued crewmen within space stations and the tunnels of asteroids. Woohoo!
Wow.
Sometimes described as Wing Commander in Tunnels. Okay. Nice.
So that'll be competing with the Star Citizen a little bit, huh?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, so they're bringing back 6 Degrees of Freedom combat, blasting it into the 21st century with current generation gaming technology. So, wow. So, look, an older sort of concept, but with a complete rework and modern treatment. So, more than a graphics upgrade, get ready for multiple types of customizable ships, upgradable weapons and sensors. Wow. Okay. So there you go, again. If people are still bored, check out their Kickstarter site.
Yeah, go explore galaxies. Yeah, that'll keep and you busy.
If you like what you see, pledge your support, because it's another worthy cause. Look at that. And then again, not only, but wait, there's more. A Monarch board game, Vie for the Crown. One of our sisters in gaming, Mary Flanagan, in the final hours of a Kickstarter campaign for her board game, Monarch. You play the heirs to the throne. Your mother, the Queen, has lived out her years and will soon pass on the crown. The time has come for you and your sister just to demonstrate your intelligence, compassion, bravery, and strength as leaders. Nice.
That's cool.
Cool. They've met their funding goal. Brilliant. But they could use your help to reach their first stretch goal. There we go. Check out the Kickstarter site on the news update there. And again, if you like what you see, then pledge your support. Lovely. Okay. And there's a cool video there of Richard Garriott and Starlong chatting with Mary Flanagan about Monarch and games and gender. Wonderful.
I wonder if Shroud's going to, you know, go together with them too. That'd be cool.
Mm, yeah, that would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, and again, look at the list of weekend community events.
Yeah, people are busy. They got all these things going on. It's so cool.
It is cool, yes. There we are. Saturday, Pax Lair, Church of the Dark Star. Ignorance is bliss, or is it? Nice.
Yeah.
A welcome quest, BMC crafting fair, learn crafting, gifts, prizes, magic. And the Order of Vengeance, crafting in Vengeance at the Brave Coast. Then Sunday you can explore Novia, have a brawl at the Bear Tavern, a Gridiron Feast, First Blood, Phoenix Republic Town Hall, a Pax Lair meeting, go fishing, and finishing off with a beach party. That's just lovely.
I bet you Winfield's really excited for fishing to actually come online, so that event will be so much more real.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet he is. Yeah. That's going to be great. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be nice just to be able to sit there with a fishing rod and pull in a fish and take it home, grill it. And, yeah.
Yeah, that's when you want to keep your bags empty for all those fish you catch. You can take them all home.
That's right. Yes. That'll be terrific.
I'm excited about fishing. I can't wait.
Yeah, that'll be lovely. Be nice if I can hang a fishing rod off the back of the boat.
Yeah, you know what? You should be able to get, you know, bigger and better fish in the deep seas. That's what we're hoping
for. You should. You should. But then that brings into play the stretch goal. I want to go out into the deep seas.
That's right.
Yeah. One day. It'll happen.
Yeah, we'll get there. That's an important goal. I imagine it'll happen.
Yes. Okay, and another important event, the Release 15 Decoration Contest.
Yay, we're entered.
We're in. Yes, okay. So, all those who want to enter the contest, give up hope now.
Yeah, you cannot be beat. Your house is awesome.
Oh, God, look. We have such awesomeness between us.
That's right.
Yes. No, I think I've still got last place sorted.
I don't know. Your house is looking really cool.
Look, honestly, it is the most decoration I've ever done, and it's actually fun. So if the contest achieved nothing else, it's achieved that. And if it brings to people a love of decoration and a sense of what they can do, it'll be great.
Yeah, there's people that their whole life is decorating their house. So yeah, it's awesome. Plus we're finding a lot of bugs doing it. Everything about it is just really cool.
That's right, yes. So look, Lolly is running it. So you've still got time. The deadline is Thursday the 19th of March. So I'd seriously encourage everybody to get into it, because there's no shame. You won't be embarrassed. As I said, I don't expect to come anywhere near the top, but I'm having huge fun doing it. So just go into it for the fun of it. And Lolly and the team of judges would love to come around and have a look at your place and probably give constructive suggestions and ideas. And you might learn stuff, as I hope to.
Oh yeah, I'd love to get some advice, you know, how these people do this great decorating.
Yeah, that's right. So, very well worthwhile doing. And then there was an awesome competition, The Shape of Things to Come. Honestly, that was just a brilliant idea.
Yeah, isn't that a cool little setting they've got there?
Oh, it's wonderful. Honestly, it's such a clever inspiration. And again, this community is awesome. I mean, you don't have to have 1,000 new quests to do every day or week. The community is going to look after itself. And if we keep on doing stuff like this, this game can go on forever.
Yeah, we're making our own events and quests, right?
That's right, yeah. And it fosters such community spirit and such friendship and such fun that, hey, it's nothing could beat it. And I think that's a lovely screenshot there. They'd called out the shape of an eye, and the team members had to form that shape, and it actually looks pretty convincing.
Yeah, good job on that eye. I was just noticing that. That's cool.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So, look, stuff like that just makes for a brilliant game experience and a brilliant community. And people are going to log into the game just for the sake of being there. Not to,
yeah, just, you know, just to watch, if nothing else, huh?
That's right. You know, it's not like a lot of the MMOs where it's a grind fest. All you do is, you know, kill this monster and then that one and then get up to level 158 and then you've won the game. And that's it.
Yeah, then this you turn it off and say, oh, I need a new game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But this is just for the fun of being there and participating. And it's awesome.
That's right. It makes it all the more fun.
Oh, it certainly does. Okay, so, and another reminder, receiving pledge rewards and add-on items. As I've said, any add-on items that you've got, any pledge rewards, they will be at the bank. So go to the bank and talk to the nice man behind the grill, and they will all be there for you. Unless there's a bug and they've disappeared.
but hope that doesn't happen again.
That's right. But look, they will be there. And, your pledge rewards and stuff will be in any bank, but if you put some stuff in the bank, then you can only get them from that bank that you put them into. But you can see them wherever you go, but you just have to go back to the same bank.
Yeah, at least you know where they are.
That's right, yes. And if you have something that looks a bit bland and it says placeholder, well, that particular item hasn't been built yet, so don't worry, it'll come.
Yeah, they've got lots of drawing to do, we know that.
Oh yeah, they sure have. Okay, and again, very quickly, changes to store credit conversions, as we've said. As soon as you log into the game, all your pledge rewards and stuff, they're flagged as claimed, and they're in your game bank. And once they're claimed, they can't be converted to store credit until the next wipe. Which, well, I say it's currently unpredictable, but they seem to have just said that is for release 17. So if you decide that all of those cool things that you bought, you would rather put them into store credit and maybe buy something else, that's fine, you can do it before release 17 comes out. Just do it before you log in.
Yeah, that's the hard work there.
Yeah, that's right, yes. Okay. And Steam Access Keys, available for Shroud backers. Easy and fun playing through Steam. Now that's good. Word of mouth marketing, yes. They want to make Shroud the best game that we can for you, our backers. And the best way we can do that is by growing a community of backers through the power of word of mouth marketing. So really, with no marketing budget, press coverage and friend-to-friend networking. And if you like Shroud, then like us on Facebook. And the current likes on Facebook, up 39 from last week, so that's cool. 5,677, that's pretty impressive. Like, considering that we've got 51,000 backers, there's a lot of people who could find their way to Facebook and just click that little like button, and that creates such a huge impression.
Yeah, when I look at those hat quantities, it makes me wonder how many of the 50 so odd thousand people are actually playing the game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very small amount. I mean, why wouldn't you go get your hat? It makes me think a lot of people aren't playing.
That's right. Yeah. I reckon there's a significant number of people. I know my two boys are like this. I shouted them adventurer pledges just to get them in on the ground level, because, I mean, I'm totally wrapped in this game.
Oh, you can't get them to join in with you?
Well, they said, yeah, they will. They'd love to, but they are not into walking through construction zones. They'll be delighted to come in and check it out when it's finished.
Well, I hope they like it.
So do I, yeah. And I reckon a lot of people are like that. They're not so much into the exploring, testing, you know, falling over 6 times with bugs and not being able to log in or out, or being stuck underneath the landscape or over the top of a tower or something like that. Or, you know, all these little bizarre things that happen to us. They're not really into that. They want the finished product. Fair enough. Yeah, you have to respect that. So I'm guessing that there will be a big influx when the game is released.
Yeah, I hope they're prepared for that. You know, imagine when an extra 40 so odd thousand people show up.
Oh, like, yeah.
Gonna change our lag.
Yes, won't it? Just, yeah.
It's like, oh, no, the game crashed. Oh, we got a lot more people here.
Yeah. And, I mean, when you're walking around the towns and stuff, and even the overworld map now, you see people wandering past. Well, imagine what it would be like if there's another 40,000 people logged on.
Oh, man, you're not going to be able to see the trainer. How's that going to work?
That's right. There'll be people everywhere. It'll be like New York in Russia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. So that's going to be very interesting. Or mind you, they'll probably start to invoke the instances. So each scene and each town will probably have 20 different instances.
So then you'll see like 30 people, even though there's 600 there or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, they've thought this through pretty well, I think.
Oh, it's a brilliant idea. I can't wait to see how it works with a big population.
That's right, yeah. Yes. And I'm probably thinking they can't wait either, and they're just hoping, and I hope Star can get himself out of the fetal position.
Yeah, I know that. It's too bad they can't find a way to test that big a quantity of people just to see what happened.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. Because they must be... Although they're probably quietly confident, but there'd have to be an element of nerves. Well, I really, really hope this works.
Yeah, can you imagine this game really hits big and there's like a million people playing it? Wow.
Oh, boy. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be real awesome. I wanted to hit, you know, wow numbers, you know?
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I want it to be a raging success.
Yeah, me too. I want to be able to say, haha, I told you this game was going to be awesome.
That's right, yes, yes. See, you didn't listen to us, and look what you might have missed out on.
Yeah, look at all the stuff I got, because I trusted the development team. Aha. Uh-huh.
That's right, yeah, yeah. But there you go, yeah. You didn't want to come on board, so sucks to you.
That's right. Yes. Oh, you just thought this is another indie game. Oh, so wrong you were.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, look, we can only tell people, yeah, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink.
That's right, yeah, you can just watch him die.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I love it.
That's okay. Awesome.
Alrighty. Okay, how to cancel monthly layaway plans. Yes, we have mentioned that. So, look, just in case anybody hasn't heard, still reminding people... Yeah, if you've got a monthly plan and you're paying 10, 20, 30, whatever dollars a month towards your pledge, the credit card companies cannot, will not, and do not terminate that automatically. And they will not care if you keep going and become a lord of the manor.
And we won't care either.
We will love it because the game will benefit and it's more income for the game and more awesomeness, and that's fantastic. And we'll thank you so much. But yes, you might not have any food for the next month in real life. So please keep an eye on that. When you're up to nearly your level, then terminate it and finish it off manually.
That's right. Just keep buying little pledge tokens. You know those tokens? And use those
store credits just to finish it off. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so there we go. And, yeah, this week in the news, Game and Nexus, Shroud of the Avatars, Impressive Stability and Beautification, Richard Garriott interview. I think that's the one I referred to, yes. And this little interview by Red Bull, Ultima in All But Name. That's a nice interview too, so encourage everybody to have a look at those. Because they're in the news, they're out there spreading the word. And trying to publicize this awesome game as much as possible.
That's all good.
It is. And we've got Release 19 happening in June. And who knows what's happening after that.
Yeah, if they think it's going to be done in June, we're getting close, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. I mean, that would be brilliant, but, you know, as we've said, and as they have said... It will be done when it is done. And it is done, it'll be done properly.
I think, didn't they say on the Hangout they're looking at Alpha to start on release 18 or 19?
I think they might. I might have said that, yeah. That would be lovely.
Yep, so that, from Alpha, you probably need at least another 3 or 4.
Alpha by the middle of the year, yeah, a few months to get all the continent and the land content fleshed out. Make sure that all works, all the player-owned towns in, get all that working. Yeah, look, okay. November the 6th. There you go.
Hey, that's only a year off what they said initially, huh?
There you go. That's a wild prediction.
Well, I keep remembering that I think all the features we're most excited about are the ones we're going to see right at the very end, you know, where they get all the interactivity and stuff going. It's just going to be cool.
Yeah, that'll be great. And as they said in the hangout, they're working on the NPCs. They're going to make those more interactive. And not only will they remember your name, as they do now, but they'll be able to have conversations with yourself, with each other. It's going to be a living, breathing world, which is what Ultima 7 was. And that was held up as the pinnacle of role-playing games of its era for many years.
Even now?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. So we are in on the ground floor of a pretty awesome thing. So...
Yeah, we're actually in on the ground floor of, you know, the next generation of Ultima, no?
Yes. Well, we are. That's right. And I know because of the Evil Alliance that we're not allowed to mention that word.
Well, yeah. We're just using it as a kind of a, you know, something to look at.
As a generic descriptor, yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. But yeah, we are. We are in on the next generation. And it's going to have that feel and that flavor about it. And it's just going to be great.
Yeah, and everyone's going to be saying, hey, that's a fun game. Let's go play it.
That's right. Exactly. And we will say, yeah, knew that.
Yeah, we've been here about 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Sweet. Okay. Well, I think we are rapidly approaching the end of the news.
Yeah, I will give us a final tally. We're at 5,991 and 247. We just need two more Duke pledges.
Awesome. Brilliant.
So I think next week we'll be announcing the big number.
Next week, I think we will be celebrating. That'll be brilliant.
Yeah, just while we were doing the news, it went up like $6,000. So somebody's buying something. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And look, this community is awesome in its support. They have faith, they have belief, and I think the more that the developers do hangouts and stuff like this and have open conversations with the community and tell them exactly what it is that they're doing and what they have in mind, the more confidence it engenders. Yeah. People say, yeah, I believe in this. This is working. I can see that this is going to work.
They're definitely listening to the community, too, with the stuff they're adding for, you know, the looting and everything. That's just all really awesome.
Yes, they are. They really, exactly as you say, they are listening and they are trying their very best to give people the kind of game that they want. And as I think it was Chris who said, yeah, full loot PvP, they are going to have to deal with a lot of problems and a lot of issues. Because, as you said, what if you're in a situation where you're in a conflict with somebody and you get them down to 2 hit points and then somebody else comes along and takes those last 2 points? Well, who gets the loot?
Yeah, I believe they've talked about that a little bit, and I hope they do like a whoever did the most damage type of thing, you know. That would be a fair way.
It would be the fair way, but it's something that they have to exercise their mind with because they want to get it right.
That's right.
And it's all right for us because we just say, oh, this is what we want. And then they have to go away and say, yeah, but if we do that, it introduces this and this and this and this and this, and we have to sort this out, and then let's go. It's all too hard for me.
Yeah, there's a lot of technical stuff we don't really know about. We just kind of say, well, this is what would be the best, but that doesn't mean it's easy, you know?
No, that's right. They're the ones who have to go away and make it work.
Yeah, they're the ones with the hard job.
Absolutely. But look, so far, it looks as if they're doing an awesome job. So, yeah, I'm thrilled with it.
Yeah, I'm just getting more excited every day. It's just getting awesome.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. Alrighty, well, that would be about it, I think.
I'd say we got over an hour in, which...
I reckon we have, yeah. People will be getting sick of us by now. So.
Yeah, no, it's like, hey, when are you guys going to finish? And we're working on it. It's too fun to jab here, you know?
Oh, it is. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Well, I'll bring us out of here then so y'all can go back to your whatever you're doing.
Good idea.
The awesome background music you're hearing is by Stephen J. Goldman, entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks again to Sir Style T. Cole for the technical work on the newscast and the wonderful website. And thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.